So, folks, on Monday, Mark Levin was back at it again, complaining about the Pennsylvania Supreme Court dismissing a lawsuit from Congressman Mike Kelly and about six other Republicans. They were trying to invalidate millions of absentee ballots that were legally cast by Pennsylvanians. Millions of ballots, just throw them out. And they were trying to get them thrown out based on technicalities, they claim. But the real kicker here, folks, was that the lawsuit that they filed was way too late because a year had passed between the time that the changes were made in Pennsylvania to the absentee ballots, which were, I thought they were innocuous. They didn't seem to be anything worth complaining about, which is probably why they never raised their hand in the first place. So a year went by before they decided to complain. And guess what else happened? Of course, Trump lost. And that was one of the biggest reasons why they decided to complain. And the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said in their opinion that, and I quote, it was beyond cavil that petitioners failed to act with due diligence in representing the instant claim. So basically, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court was saying, listen, you guys, you could have raised this issue 4 months, 5 months ago, 6 months ago, 11 months ago, a year has passed, and you wait until the election. And not only that, but it's been certified at this point. So you really have no standing, you know, to bring this case. It's just amazing to me, folks, how somebody as smart as Mark Levin, and he's no dummy, somebody as smart as Mark Levin perpetuates election fraud claims like this. It just doesn't make any sense. And then, that's not just the half of it. Then Mark Levin tries to say that the reason why, he doesn't tell you that a year went by when the changes were made to the absentee ballot system, a year had passed. He doesn't say that. No, don't bring that up, Mark. Don't bring up the fact that they waited a year. What he tries to do, folks, is tell you that they didn't bring it up earlier because they had no standing. They had no standing. When in reality, Mark, they did have standing. When the changes were made, they could have raised their hand, but they had to have the right lawsuit to do it. You can't challenge an election and wait to the end and challenge an election and then say, oh, hey, wait, you know, those rules that you changed, they didn't make any sense. No, you've got to construct a lawsuit that makes sense at the time for something that you want to complain about, and they didn't do that. But here's what Mark had to say about it.
You can only be in front of this court if you've been harmed in some way or you're accusing somebody or some institution of harming you. Otherwise, you don't have standing. Under Pennsylvania law, Congressman Kelly, candidate Sean Parnell, and the other six plaintiffs had no standing if they would have brought this case earlier.
A different case? Yes.
They had no standing. They had to wait for the election.
No.
In order to bring their case.
Wrong.
Which is exactly what they did.
No. Like I said, folks, if they felt that they had a problem with the changes that were made, they could have constructed a lawsuit. They could have raised their hand over a year ago and brought the complaint. But they didn't seem to do that. They didn't seem to care until Donald Trump lost. See how that works? And see how he frames it to all of his people so that it makes sense? And then Mark Levin turned to just his overall state of denial over the election. They're all dealing with this. It's a state of denial.
That Biden got 95% of the Democrat mail-ins. Okay, 21%? Or one-fifth of the Republican mail-ins? No way.
Yes way.
80% of the independent mail-ins that showed just 52% had supported him? No way.
Yes way. Yes, Mark. You thought the election was a blowout, Mark Levin? You know, before the election, you thought it. You just knew it was in the bag for Donald Trump. It was a blowout. It just wasn't a blowout for your man. Then Mark moved on to complain about how the media, of which he's a part of, obviously, how the media didn't say anything bad about Biden's picks for this office or that office. Nobody complained. There was no controversy. And he went on to blame the media for that. I mean, it's absolutely insanity. Here, have a listen.
Let's not pretend. And of course, the media in this country are very, very satisfied. Nobody's controversial. No. because they all socialize with each other, they all celebrate with each other, they all have sex with each other. It's grotesque.
Oh, you're grotesque, Mark.
The media are a contemptible joke.
No, you're a joke. I mean, what do you know about sex, Mark? My God. And that's a little dramatic, isn't it? Where's he going with this? I mean, do you folks think for a second that the National Review is out there tipping back cocktails with Washington Post Josh Dozzi or New York Times Maggie Haberman? I mean, come on, Mark, they don't do this. That's a joke. You know nothing about what you're talking about there. And don't get into that other stuff. So then the state of denial just perpetuated the state of denial that Trump has lost. It just went on, and it continued with Mark discussing how black voters this time, folks, they turned out in Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Detroit in astronomic numbers. But Mark seems to think that there couldn't be a mini conspiracy with how, yeah, they turned out astronomically in those three cities, but what about Chicago and what about New York? They didn't turn out in those kind of numbers. Huh.
There were massive spikes in black voting in a handful of cities. Not in New York. Not in L.A. Not in Chicago. Philadelphia, Detroit,
in Milwaukee. Right.
That doesn't even pique the interest of National Review or any of the others.
Why should it?
So what is their answer to that?
Trump's a boob.
Well, Trump is a disgrace. That's their answer.
Oh, disgrace. Okay. Mark, it's over. For God's sakes, it's over. You know, I just can't... I know it's really hard for you, but it's time to move on, Mark. Really, it's time to move on. He just can't, though, folks. He still clings to the lies. It would be like a... as if a Titanic passenger was clinging to a bit of the ship in the frigid Atlantic Ocean saying, "It's unsinkable! It's unsinkable!" My God, man, you're clinging to a piece of the ship in the ocean. I don't get it. I don't get it, folks. And then he peddled this little fabrication. Have a listen to this.
Missing votes in Delaware County, Pennsylvania. 50,000 votes held on 47 USB cards are missing.
Oh, really? You think? You think they're missing, Mark? Mark, you should know better than this. I mean, you're a smart guy, and you should know better. If votes... Do we have to take this down to like a... maybe a kindergarten level so you might get this? If votes were missing... the paper ballots would also have to be missing because that's what they counted, paper ballots. They don't count votes on USB sticks, Mark. Everything's backed up with a paper ballot, for God's sakes. What they do is they run these things through the machines, and if the USB stick, for whatever reason, didn't have the votes on it, they'd say, "Hey, folks, look, you know, something's not right here. We've got to check this out because we've got 50,000 more paper ballots than we do ballots on the, or votes on the USB stick." So, come on, Mark, it's time to move on. Put all this BS away, for God's sake. For all Mark's talk about that Pennsylvania lawsuit that was dismissed and screaming that it should go to the Supreme Court and blah, blah, blah. You know what this is the interesting, folks. For all of that conversation about what the Pennsylvania Supreme Court did, you know what the Pennsylvania legislature thinks, the Republican legislature in Pennsylvania? You know what they think of all this?
You know what the Pennsylvania legislature is doing on November 30th, Mr. Producer? Is today November 30th?
Oh, it's December 1st.
You know what they're doing today? They're ending their session.
Hmm.
Despite all that's going on, they're ending their session.
Yeah. Surprise.
The Pennsylvania Republican legislature.
Yep. Deal with it.
It's shocking.
I know. Just going to have to deal with it.
Why don't these Republican legislatures step up?
Because there's
What's the problem?
There is no problem. That's it. I mean, Mark, that should tell you a lot right there. That should tell you a lot, Mark. That should tell you something. take a hint. Take a hint, Mark. Then, folks, you know, Mark decided to use, I'll call it projecting behavior, to shape the Democrats in totality as a part of some cult, is where he was going with this. And projecting behavior basically is unconsciously taking unwanted emotions or traits that you don't like about yourself and attributing them to someone else. Donald Trump does this all the time. Remember in that debate back in 2016 with Hillary? You're a puppet. No, you're the puppet. Oh, he's a puppet of Putin. That's where she was going with it. But that's psychological projection. Have a listen to this.
It wants power. So that you have to have allegiance not to your country, not to your flag, not to your anthem. Allegiance to the Democrat Party.
Wrong.
See what I mean?
No.
The party substitutes for government. The party substitutes for country.
Wrong. No.
It's all about the party. You also see this in fascistic regimes, by the way.
You also see this in Republicans. You're the one with the cult, Mark. This is exactly what Donald Trump has been to the Republican Party for the past 4 years, is the cult leader. You're the one that's pandering these fraudulent lies about the election fraud. You're the one that's pandering all this. I mean, that's exactly what a cult is. That's projection, folks. They're saying the Democrats are the same thing that they are. It's basically a cult at this point. The DC Republicans have got a cult going, and they just are in denial over the fact that their cult leader, Donald Trump, is not going to be there for another 4 years. But, folks, Mark went on to talk about some other stuff here. And basically, at the core of all of this, Mark is an elitist. That's the problem. He's a rich, fat, and happy elitist, and he wants to keep it that way. Donald Trump, you have to understand that Donald Trump was doing exactly that for people like Mark Levin. Keeping them fat and happy. And what scares Mark Levin the most, what scares Mark the most here is a system that's not rigged. Finally. What scares him the most is a system that's not rigged to the benefit of the rich. Have a listen to this, folks.
When you think about it, the Democrat Party, its agenda is mostly what? To redistribute what you own and your income.
Really?
To Democrats.
No. 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 What you're afraid of, Mark, is that the party's over. And I'm not talking about socialism, folks. I'm not talking about Democrats being socialists. That's not any of what this is about. I'm talking about a fair tax system, not riddled with loopholes for the rich. And I'm talking about rescinding the Trump tax cuts that favored people like Mark Levin at the top, the fat and happy cats sitting right there at the top. I'm also talking about things like having an environmental protection agency that's allowed to do their job and not the will of the rich, whose companies find it easier to pollute rather than worry about the environment, Mark, and climate change. That's what I'm talking about. Mark just can't grapple with the fact here, folks, that the party's over. Mark, there's a new sheriff in town. His name is Joe Biden. You've got to get used to it, my friend. Thanks for listening to the Rusted Culture Podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, and Pandora, too.